I just have one purpose for this morning's message. I want to encourage you. I want you to be encouraged. The Lord wants you to be encouraged this morning. The Lord wants your faith to be built up this morning. A few weeks ago, I preached about faith and the pitfalls of not having it, according to what happened to Israel. This is going to be a different kind of just a 1, 2, 3, some bullet points that I think are important for us to keep before us, some truths that are important for us to keep before us to keep our faith built, okay? Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let me tell you, if you are in the kingdom, you are not without faith. You got at least a mustard seed. You had enough faith to get saved. You had enough faith to trust Jesus, right? Just say, that's not me then, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to the Lord must believe two things. Must, number one, believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So any of us who come to the Lord, we don't come to a feeling in the sky, a cloud. We don't come to an idea. We come to a God that exists, that's real, right? And one who watches everything and rewards those who diligently seek him. All right, so I want to give you six things to build your faith today, six truths that you need to know. Number one, if you're taking notes, did those ushers come in? Do you have pens? Okay, raise your hand if you need a pen. Just do that right now. It's good to take notes. Help you remember. We got one on the front. I hope nobody gets hit in the eye with a pen. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can see it now. Phew. I just didn't think about that. Awesome. Number one thing we need to remember. God chose you, and he appointed you to produce much fruit. Do you know how often we forget that God chose us, and we start thinking somehow that we chose God? Big difference, too. Big difference. If you feel like you chose God only, God didn't choose you, you spend all your energy wrestling and fighting to hold on to something and to keep something that you never earned, that was freely given to you by the Lord. And John 15, verse 16 says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Kind of like, oh, silly thing. What are you thinking? You just woke up one day and had this brilliant idea that you're going to follow God. No, you have, you know, on your own without Jesus, our brilliant ideas take us to the lake of fire. I'm telling you, they're not great. But with God, all of a sudden you're like, I need to get my life around. I think I need to come to church. God idea, because he chose you. He's got his eye on you. He's drawing you in. It's not an accident you're here. No way. He says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And listen to this. I appointed you. It means you got an assignment. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. You did not twist God's arm. His love pursued you and chose you. And he sovereignly said, I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. Oh, I want to adopt him. I choose him. Now we have to say yes to the choosing, right? We could kick and scream and run the other way and say, no, I don't want you as my daddy. But he chooses you. There's rest in knowing that you are chosen and you are appointed to go and bear much fruit. You know, I think when the Lord oftentimes tells us to do something, if we're uncomfortable with it, if there's discomfort in the choosing, of what God, or the pointing of what God tells us to do, we often say, why me? Why me? I'm not the right person. Do you remember Moses? I mean, Moses, one of the most famous people in the Old Testament. He grows up, although he's is an Israelite, he grows up in Pharaoh's house as a prince. I mean, he's really an impressive young man, I am sure. One of the most learned young men of the day. You know the story. He has to run into the desert. He lives like as a kind of isolated out there, you know, with the Midianites or whatever, Huronites, something like that. And if Huron was in the Old Testament, we would be called Huronites, I'm sure of it. South Dakotanites just rolls off the tongue. It's so nice. And God says it's time. He's heard his cry of the people of Israel, you know, that he wants to free them. And he comes to Moses in the desert, he in the burning bush. Here's the bush. I mean, it's quite a sight. It's something that takes him off of the path. It's a bush that's got flames all over it, but it's not being consumed by fire. The presence of God. And the Lord comes to him and says, I've chosen you. I'm going to free my people. I'm sending you back to Egypt. I'm going to use you to lead 3 million slaves into freedom. And he's like, you have got the wrong guy. I just kind of like tremble when I think, what were you thinking talking back to God, Moses? I mean, like he was burned. The burning bush was there. Eek! You know, and he's like, I'm the wrong person. I'm not very good at speaking. And the Lord, you know, kept on saying, okay, I'll do this sign and wonder for you. And I'm going to give you the staff. And it's going to turn into a snake and then back to a staff. I mean, wild things were happening. And still he's like, I'm just not the right guy. And so the Lord is like, he's like, oh, fine, I'll give you Aaron, your brother. He'll be, you know, you tell him what to say and he'll say it. And he wasn't actually that happy about it. But you know what? When the Lord chooses you for something, we choose you for the kingdom, obviously. We say yes. And when he chooses you for an assignment, you know what? We need to quit saying, I'm the wrong person. Why me? You know what our response needs to be? Well, I wouldn't have chose me. But golly, you're really smart. You're going to get a lot of glory out of this because I am incapable of doing what you have told me to do. We need to get in touch with our weakness and say, okay, that's just what brings you glory, Jesus, is that I am weak, but your strength is made perfect. God chose you. He chose you. I know I've shared this here before, but years ago when the Lord started speaking to us about Europe and going to Europe, I would say, Lord, I mean, I'll do anything for you, but why would you want me to do that? I mean, I don't speak any other languages, and I don't have any connections over there. I have zero money, and we, you know, put a budget into place. I know I told you guys this. We started budgeting for our first trip to Europe for a ministry trip years ago, and we did the math. It was going to take us 7 years. 7 years to get the money together. And, of course, within a year, we were there with our whole family, because God, right? God. But when the Lord chooses you, there should be so much faith in his choice. Lord, if you choose me for a task, then you are going to give me the ability to do that. And you're going to get so much glory from this. So from now on, when the Lord tells you to go witness to somebody and it's really, really hard for you and scary, what are you going to say? Yes, sir, thank you for that great assignment. You're going to enable me to do it, I guess. Right? The Lord speaks to you to start a discipleship group. And you're like, oh, I've never led anything. I never led brownies or Girl Scouts. I wasn't a leader in Boy Scouts. I was never a leader of anything. Well, geez, wow. God's going to get a lot of glory from you saying yes to his choosing, isn't it? No more why me, just yes, sir, thank you. Because he chose you. Number two, God does not give any assignments or tasks that have no value. This is really important. If the Lord sets something before you to do, it always has purpose. Now, we don't always see the purpose. We don't always know the purpose. But everything the Lord gives you to do has purpose. Sometimes in my life, I have felt like the hamster on the little wheel. Running in place, you know that? The hamster, you know, the little wheel, and the hamster gets in there and just runs and runs and runs and runs and runs. Let me tell you, no fear. The Lord will not give you assignments that have no purpose. He will not stick you on a hamster wheel and just say, run, baby, run. You're not going anywhere ever. He will not do that. This is a test of our faith in the character of God. Because many times the things the Lord puts before us, we cannot see the benefit or the value of them. I mean, we always talk about the beauty of motherhood and fatherhood and how glorious it is, you know. And so I know in our mind, every person in this room understands the absolute privilege it is to be a mama or to be a daddy. Or if some of you are stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home dads. Nonetheless, when you're in the grind and it's dishes and diapers and dishes and diapers and laundry, and you can forget this is glorious. Can't we? You can forget, I am raising up a little person. Like a human life has been given to me to raise up to love God. I mean, that is like, whoa. You're not managing stuff. You're managing a person. Wow, in the glory of God, made in the image of God. That's amazing. But when you can't see your floor because it's 2 feet deep in toys, and you don't want anyone to come to the door because your house smells like dirty diapers, and when you're in your kitchen because you can't stand what it looks like, you forget these tasks have value. There are some things you will not be able to see the value of until after they're over. It's just the way life is. And there's some things that the Lord puts before us that we don't truly get to see the full value of what he had us to do until eternity even. But you can rest in knowing that everything, every assignment, small or large, that God gives to you has value. He is not going to put you on the hamster wheel and tell you just run for nothing. He won't. So if it's loving a person that you're like, this is going nowhere. This person's just a drain on my time and energy. And it's like, nothing's happening here. Do you know how many people I've ministered to and taken time with and felt I had to fight those feelings going, this is just really going nowhere. I feel like I'm wasting my time. And then a couple years later, they're like saved in the kingdom, flourishing. And I'm like, wow, praise the Lord. There are some things you just can't see the value of without some time passing. I want to give you a story. And I don't know how much of this particular story I've shared in the past, but our first trip that we went to Europe as a family. So Jeff and I went as a couple on a ministry trip. Then the Lord told us, come back a year later, bring your kids. It was a huge step of faith for us to believe the Lord, to be able to bring our children with us on this ministry trip. We were planning it and just asking the Lord, what do you want this to look like? Where do you want us to go? And just, I could not get away from this feeling. We were to go to Paris and meet with the leader of the House of Prayer in Paris. Now, nothing else would take us close to, nothing would even take us to the country of France. We were going to go to Spain first. Jeff's brother was in the military. That made sense. Like we were going to visit him for a little bit. Then we had ministry to do in Germany and Switzerland. I mean, there made sense for us to go there. But we did not know this person that I felt like we were supposed to meet for coffee. We didn't know him. There's no relationship. Zero relationship with the person. But I could not escape it. Now, as we started to plan it, it made less and less sense that we would ever go to Paris. It was extremely expensive. It was the most expensive leg of our trip. Because we had to get there from Spain. Actually, where we were at in Spain was kind of like small, and the tickets were expensive, and we had to, you know, rent a little apartment, which that's kind of the best way to go there for a family. That was not cheap. There was just nothing. I mean, yeah, okay, Eiffel Tower would be fun to see, but nothing was like attractive enough to take me there because, you know, I was doing this on a budget. I was like, this is not making sense. And on top of it, our communication with the guy was kind of sketchy. Like sometimes he didn't answer me back. I'm like, there's a strong possibility I'm going to Paris and never going to meet with him. That's like in the natural looking at it. Yet he's the only reason I'm going there, you know? So I'm like, oh God, help us. So I schedule. I'm like, okay, 2 days. We get in there. We get out of there. This money trap called Paris. And I schedule it for 2 days, and clearly the Spirit says, you have not scheduled enough time in Paris. You need to be there another day. Okay, fine. I mean, everything was difficult about this leg of the trip. When I went to extend my stay, the place where we had booked wasn't available for another day. Paris is a huge city with cities and cities around it. We ended up having to go to a suburb. Literally, it was so difficult to travel through the city and to get to other. It was just everything about it was hard. And then while we were there, but I felt confidence. Like after I planned it, I was like, no, the Lord, this is something God has. And so while we're there, the day before we're, end up that the only day that this man could meet with us was the last day, the one that I added onto our trip, that the Lord told me, you have to be there another day. Well, it ended up while we're in the city, things got postponed, and the only time we got to meet with him was that day. So, I mean, praise God, right? Then the night before we were to meet with him, I became deathly ill. High fever, terrible, like, pus pockets all over my throat. It was awful. I needed antibiotic. We didn't know how to get me one. I was like on pain relievers. I was literally, we were going through the subway because you have to like walk everywhere, miles. I'm shaking, carrying my suitcase. And I just start crying, full on crying. And Jeff's kind of like, come on, are you kidding me? I am so sick. He got sick 2 days later, and he was shaking in the bed, and I'm like, oh, see? I am not happy about that, but see? See? You needed more compassion on me. That was awful, wasn't it? Sorry. Sometimes we flesh out, and then we repent. No excuses, but when you do that, repent, okay? Oh, and then we called the house doctor for him. And the doctor comes rushing into the house. And I'm like, I didn't get a doctor in the house. I got ibuprofen. You guys prayed for me. God delivered us. So I am like fevering. I was so sick. I could barely walk. And it's the last day. We finally got coffee with him. And I'm texting all of you guys, please pray for me, please pray for me, please pray for me. And I take a bunch of ibuprofen, fall asleep for 20 minutes. Then I get up, cry as I get ready, and make the 1 hour journey through the city back into the city center so we can meet for coffee with a guy. The Lord lifts the sickness for about an hour and a half while we have coffee and pray together. And he laughs and he says, it's not every day that someone comes from the United States to Paris to have coffee with me. And I said, we're just supposed to encourage you. What's God doing in the house of prayer in Paris? And we just served him. I mean, no agenda, just served him, just prayed for him, just encouraged him, said, we are lifting up Paris. God has Paris on his heart. Well, we came back a few years later. Now we have a great relationship with Sam Oliver. Hi, Sam, if you're watching. And a few years later, we were in his now thriving house of prayer where they were having they have a school of prayer now that they had just launched, and we were ministering to their students, and he gets up to introduce us, and he said, you know, a few years ago, I was in a place where I didn't know if I wanted to continue with the house of prayer, and things were really difficult, and the Lord sent a couple from the United States to have coffee with me. And I just felt like I was so encouraged by it that I knew that God had purpose for us. Guys, like, nothing. God doesn't give tasks to us that are without worth or value. But if you're looking always for the worth and the value on the front side, you will miss so much of what God has for you. All those times when you just stop for the one person that needs encouragement. You know, all those times that you take that extra 10 minutes with your little one to do their homework when they're struggling in their math. I mean, I believe in eternity when the veil's ripped, we will be shocked by the value of the things that the Lord put before us. You can have faith in it. Number three. this kind of piggybacks on the last one. Number two was God does not give assignments and tasks that have no value. But number three is God never misses even one small thing that we do for him. And remember the scripture that we are focusing on today, that the Lord exists and he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God never misses even one small thing that we do for him, and he's the rewarder for everything. Everything we do for the Lord, small. Do you know that you can have a day where you're just at home cleaning all day long, and you can just go through that day and not really get any heavenly rewards, or you can do it for the glory of God, like, and literally be rewarded in all of eternity for doing laundry for your family. Like, I had to get in touch with this when I was a stay-at-home mom with toddlers. I am serving. Serving is the greatest. Serving is the greatest. Washing out stains, cleaning up puke. Oh, the best one was the stage when Abby was trying to potty train. She hated a poopy diaper. And so every time she had one, she'd take it off, no warning, fling it. And I hear screams because Malachi's walked through the kitchen and stepped in it. I'm not any big hero, guys. This is every mom's story. But still, yeah, I remember it so vividly. Stop! Nobody move! Nobody stop! Stop! You're tracking it everywhere! That's like, poop, 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 poop. Get it off my feet! That's a good one, when he's doing the poop dance to get it off his feet all over the house. Stop! Don't go on the carpet! But when we know that everything we do for the glory of God, like every time we're tempted to get frustrated, and yet we say, no, I'm doing this with joy. Reward. Wow. Wow. I love reading stories or hearing stories of people who go to heaven. I always think that's really fun. Of course, we don't look to the stories like that for our doctrine or, you know, but just take them for what they are. But I really enjoy reading books about people, Christians who have died and went to heaven and came back again. I just think it's fun, and I can't wait to go there. So sort of, it's great. Anyway, multiple times I have heard people say that have went to heaven that they were amazed more stay-at-home moms were close to the throne of God than any other people group on the face of the earth, who just were prayer warriors for their family and served with total abandonment all their life. Man, that should encourage somebody in the room. Thank you, Father. So, you know, the scripture says that when we give a glass of cold water in the name of Jesus, when we give it to somebody in need, it's like giving it to Jesus himself. Truly, if we can get this, he doesn't miss a thing. It's one of the reasons why prayer and worship are such powerful acts of faith in our day. Why your time in your prayer closet, so to speak, your time when nobody knows what you're doing, it's just you and God coming before the one who exists, coming before the one who actually rewards you for what you're doing and saying, coming before that one who you know is going to move because you're praying, and nobody else even knows you're doing it. It's one of the most powerful things in the world, prayer and worship. It's such a powerful act of faith. Let me tell you, I wish Sarah Palmer was here today because I wanted to brag on her. So someone repeat this to her, okay, when you see her. Our Sarah that usually sits over here, she couldn't come today, but, you know, Sarah has all kinds of challenges in her life, and she doesn't have a car, and, you know, limited, some of the things that many of us just take for granted, she's limited by in her, you know, ability to get out and do things. And she's saying to me one day, I just want to do something useful for the Lord. And so anyway, one day Cecile said, you know, Sarah, would you help me clean the church? And she came to me, she was like, can I clean the church again? I was thinking I'd like to wash down all the walls. And I just went, glory, hallelujah, and broke out into tongues. And she's so serious. I had so much fun cleaning the church. I had so much fun cleaning the church. Oh, my goodness. Wow. could we all learn from sweet Sarah the joy of serving, right? And the reward that she's going to get because she is actually praying for an opportunity to serve and then going, praise God, I get to clean the church. It is a joy. Praise the Lord. Number four. This should build your faith. Number four, you are part of something that is bigger than you. You are part of something that's bigger than you. Now, while you are not all that God is doing in the world, that's really important for us to understand. You are an important part of what God's doing in the world. This is a balance of truth that we need to continually walk in. To downplay your role in the kingdom is to really doubt the wisdom of God. And it's to almost despise your inheritance and your part that he has given you to play. Like I would really feel hurt if one of my kids came to me and said, I just have no place in this family. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, we're incomplete without you. Like, you are such an important part in this family, right? So there's this balance of truth. On one hand, you are not the only thing happening. But on the other hand, what your role to play is extremely important. So to downplay your role and your place in the Father's kingdom is to despise your inheritance and to not trust in the wisdom of God. But to get puffed up and think that the kingdom couldn't move forward without you or without your presence, or to feel that you are the main thing that God is doing on the earth, is to be blinded by pride. And it always results in the dividing of God's kingdom rather than bringing unity. We have said this from the pulpit so many times. Like, James River Church is really valuable. Like, what God's given us to do is important. Like, I love it. I love it so much. But in no way are we the main thing happening in the state of South Dakota or the five-state region or the city of Huron. God is moving in so many churches and so many believers. And I want every single one of them to understand this. They have an important role to play. Embrace it. Don't deny it. Embrace it. Thank God for it. Remember, he chose you. So instead of saying, no, I'm not important, say, no, I thank you, Lord. You chose me. I guess I have value. I'm important. My place is important. But also thank you, Lord, that I'm just one piece of something so much bigger. And it's really powerful to know that you are part of a bigger plan, an important part of a bigger plan. But there is something way bigger than just little us happening in this earth. There's the birthing of an end-time missions movement. There's the coming of a third great awakening. And I want to be right in it. But I know I'm not all of it. And it's not certainly about us. It's about Jesus, right? But we're part of something. We're part of something that is huge. We're part of something that is going to bring God so much glory and usher in the fullness of his kingdom one day. It's beautiful. So have faith that your part matters and you're part of something big. Number five. This is something the Lord spoke to me about on Friday night. I want to share a little bit on it. God is placing his people in the right place at the right time for his glory and the expansion of his kingdom. I'm going to repeat this. This is something that's happening right now, just a divine moment. God is placing his people in the right place at the right time for his glory and the expansion of his kingdom. On Friday night, I told you it was explosive. I wish I could just like push play and somehow have it video that we all could just experience it again together, because Lord was like releasing so many awesome things. And there were multiple, which maybe in the coming weeks I'll share, but multiple things I felt like were dreams for our church for the future that I was like, I don't know when that's going to happen, but I can see, you know, sometimes prophetically, you can see something is going to happen, but you don't know if it's like 20 years down the road or if it's 2 years or next week, you know? It's just hard to know those things. And sometimes when you think, it's now, it's the Lord's like, It's just right around the corner in 10 years, honey. 10 years is forever for me, God. When you're younger, the years seem longer too, right? So all the things I thought the Lord was going to do, like when I was 30, and I was like, if the Lord would have been like, oh, that's going to happen about 15 years, I would have literally been like, you're kidding me. I'm going to be old and decrepit. I'm going to be in my 40s. When you finally do that, are you kidding me? Are you sure that's your plan, the Lord? He's so wise. He's so wise. Anyway, so several things on Friday night, I felt like the Lord said, this is birthed for now. You know, this thing that you thought maybe was far away has been, like, through prayer, it's going to happen quicker than we think. So on Friday night, I had this, I'm just going to call it a vision, this picture. It was a memory. Sometimes the Lord speaks to this. It was a memory that kept going through my mind over and over again. Something that happened 6 or 7 years ago, okay? And I thought, Lord, I mean, the presence of God was so strong. I kept saying, why am I seeing this? Why am I seeing this? And this is what I was seeing. This really happened in real life, okay? It's not a dream. It's confusing sometimes, I know. This happened in real life about 6 or 7 years ago. Our family went to visit Jeff's brother in Hawaii. He was stationed in Hawaii, him and his family. And so we went to Hawaii. It was really cool. And we just stayed with them for a few weeks. Anyway, and during that time, the Lord just, it was really cool. He gave us a 3 or 4 day timeshare on Waikiki Beach for free. Like someone came to us and said, we love to bless pastors. We'd like you to have this timeshare, just free, a condo on Waikiki. So it was really cool. During this, you know, I don't know, 10 days that we were in Hawaii with his family, we got to get away for a few days just to be our little unit of four and be in this little condo. Anyway, and Waikiki is kind of like a mass of people. And so it's not a beach that we would hang out on. So we would always like drive our car like way up to some deserted beach and like hang out. That's what we did. For 10 days, we just beach hopped and it was fun. Anyway, so this one morning, this is the memory. This one early morning, I wanted time away by myself. So I slipped out of the apartment. I ran down to Starbucks, grabbed my coffee and headed to the beach. And it was actually deserted because it was early in the morning. The sun was rising. I had my little hand Bible with me. I had my Starbucks. Life was really beautiful at that moment. And I opened my Bible to Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. And he's come, you know, to bring beauty out of ashes and to ground crown of glory instead of despair. You know, it's that scripture about what Jesus came to do for us. I'm reading it with my Bible and watching the sunrise. Like I said, nobody's around. Nobody's around. And this Asian lady, she comes and starts standing awkwardly close to me. Do you know what? If there's nobody around, like in a field, and a stranger comes and just kind of saddles up 2 or 3 feet from you, it's weird. Right? And I was like, hi. Just like, there's a whole beach, miles and miles. And here she is right next to me. So I really was wanting to connect with the Lord over this scripture and my coffee. But I looked at her and I said, it's a beautiful morning to enjoy this gorgeous sunrise that God's given us, isn't it? And just I said Jesus. I'm sure I said Jesus. I was using the name of Jesus whenever possible. So Jesus just gave us this beautiful sunrise. It's like a nice morning for it, isn't it? She's like, yes. And immediately she just opens her heart. She's from, I can't remember, Thailand or something. She's Buddhist. And she says, but I've been thinking about becoming a Christian. And I'm sitting here, and she says, yeah, I have a friend who gave me a Bible, and then I watch Christian television, and I think Christians are the happiest people on the earth. I said, that is true. And I said, well, let me show you what Jesus died to give you. And my Bible is open to Isaiah 61. That's the scripture I already had. I leaned in front of her, and I said, he came to take your ashes and to give you joy, to take your mourning and to give you gladness, to take your brokenness and to give you a beautiful crown. And we just talked. And I had never had a divine appointment like that so much. It was like fish jumping in the boat. That's what it felt like. I was like, whoa. And it ends with her saying, do you think God set this up? I said, yes, I do. Well, that is the memory that was going through my mind on Friday, and I kept seeing it over and over and over again. I said, Lord, what is this? Is this about the harvest? Because certainly we want to see a harvest of souls come into the kingdom. And I felt very clearly like the Lord said, no, this is about timing, Autumn. God is placing his people in the right place at the right time for his glory. You know, I've only been to Hawaii one time in my life. It's not like we go there every other week. And I was only ever to Waikiki Beach one time, one morning with my Starbucks and my Bible, one time. And there was a beach empty, and that woman felt so drawn to me that she braved the awkwardness to wander around me and like weird wandering, just wandering literally in circles, walking around me. Until I was like, hi! Do you know what? Right time, right place. God knew. He moved. I mean, the story is so complicated. He moves on a Christian that lives in Brookings, South Dakota, to give us a timeshare on a beach in Waikiki, and then wakes me up early so I can have time to get away from the kids and grab a coffee and my Bible. And then I flip it open and say, today, Isaiah 61. And then here she comes. Let me tell you, this is a moment, if you feel like you are being shifted in some way, like, oh, my ministry's changing, or I just have these changes happening in my life, embrace it. And just know, God is moving his people into the perfect place at the perfect time because he has a plan. And you could trust it. This is happening with our church left and right. I feel like, whoa, transitions, good things. That's right. Oh, I love you, Gabe. He's my front row cheer. So powerful. I love him so much. Praise God. And it was right after that, I shared this word during ministry time, that I saw the lightning striking the spectators and the power of God coming down on those that were on the sidelines. And they began to run onto the field and take their place. This is really, truly, there is, I'm not just saying this, it's not cliche. There is no better time to be alive than this moment. There's no greater move of God that has ever been seen on the face of the earth like the one that's coming. We have it promised in the scriptures. The greatest harvest the earth has ever seen will precede the return of Jesus Christ. This is the moment that we have been placed in. This is amazing. We don't want, believe me, you don't want to be a spectator. You want to be a participant in this move of God. This is awesome. Number 6. God is the giver, but he's also the fulfiller of your dreams. The dreams that God's placed in your heart. The things he's given you to do that are bigger than yourself. He's the giver. Remember, he chose you and he appointed you to go and bear much fruit. That means he chooses you to be his own, to be his kid. You say yes to that. The appointing you to go bear much fruit is your assignments. It's the tasks he gives you. It's where he places you in the body of Christ. It's the harvest field he puts before you. But don't worry, he appointed it to you. He appointed you to go bear much fruit. And so the God that gives you the dreams is the God that knows how to fulfill those dreams. I love how full the room is this morning. Just look around. It's really nice and full, isn't it? You know, 13 years ago, we came to this town with six people, actually to begin with. Dave and Patty and Zach and Jessica couldn't be here for a few months. And so it was literally just Jeff and I and our 3-month-old baby and our 2-year-old. And a vision to have true impact on a city and a region. And then we grew to 12, maybe 15. We were 15 for a long time. 15 for a long time. And then we were 30. And for a while, we thought, 30 is it? I mean, we just hit a ceiling on 30. Like, you know, pray and fast 30. We get 35, and then a family had moved to Oregon. Okay, now we're at 30. And you know, it's like, but the God who gives the dream is the God who fulfills the dream in his own timing. You could trust him, though, to fulfill it. Like, we don't always enjoy the timing that God has, because the Lord actually cares about the making of you as a person more than the making of your ministry. Honestly, he does. He cares so much more about you as an individual, like growing your character, growing your vision to line up with his, growing you in the process. And so sometimes we get these big visions and we're just like, why doesn't this happen tomorrow? And the Lord's like, well, I want you to have the vision, but you're not quite ready to carry it. So let me give you some time. You're like, okay, 6 months, Lord, let's try like, you know, 10, 13 years. Okay. You know, Joseph had a big vision, right? 16 years old. He saw that he would somehow have this so much power and authority that his own family would even bow down to him. He just had to go into slavery and then the dungeon, and then he'd go to the palace. That's all. Just easy as that. You know, 20 years of dungeons and slavery and false accusation, he'd be right up there in that palace as easy as can be. Everyone wants to be Joseph. Nobody wants the dungeon. I hope you don't have to have it, but you might. The Lord made him into the man God wanted, he needed to be. He was so humble he could carry that much authority and be full of grace and mercy. So the God who gives the dreams to JRC, to our state, our region, but to us individually, he is the God that knows how to fulfill them. You can trust him for that. The story, the Bible is just full of stories of the most unlikely people who got appointed by God to do something great. And then it's God's story of how he produced that through them for his glory. Praise God. Chad, could you come up and, oh, surprise, could you lead some worship? Sorry, guys. Thank you. So flexible. Thank you, Chad. I really appreciate it. So what we're going to do, I'll just give Chad, just take your time, Chad, if you need to find a song or something. I really think there's grace to move from being spectator to being a participant in what God's doing. And some of you are in this room and you're not even really right with God. So, I mean, it's like your first step in this process is coming to Jesus and just getting your life lined up with God. Saying, I need to get rid of some junk and I need to make Jesus Lord, Master. And this is going to be a moment for you to do that. And this is your moment. I want to be serious. When I say, the Bible says that no man is promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Listen. Listen. Do you know how many people I know that have died young? I mean, I don't want to be a downer, but you're not promised 10 more minutes on this earth. Don't mess around. If you need to get something right with the Lord, today is the day of salvation, is what the scripture says. You're not promised even one more day. Whether you're 5, or whether you're 85, today's the day of salvation. Don't put it off, okay? So in a moment, we're going to have people come forward. And if you want to get right with the Lord, I encourage you to make that step. Be bold. Don't be worried about what are people going to think about you. Believe me, you're going to be thankful for all eternity. A million years from now, you're going to be thanking God for this day, okay? And the second thing that we're going to take time to respond on is this grace to move from the sidelines onto the field. And I just believe there's just a grace for it. And so whether you feel it, so many times we have to move before we feel anything, right? We have to respond before we see anything. But I feel like this is our moment that if you feel like, you know, in some way you've been sitting it out, you've just been warming the bench, I want us to respond and we're just going to fill the altar and we're going to say, Lord, do whatever you need to do in my heart to move me into the game. Give me a fresh vision for my life. You know, give me fresh understanding of how I can participate in your kingdom. Forgive me for, you know, kind of coasting the last few years or the last week or the month or whatever it is. I just believe there's grace for that power that the Lord said he was going to bring. There's grace for full participation. No longer just hearers, but we're all just called to be doers, right? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So Chad, I want you just to lead us in worship. And then as you feel led, I want you during this song, don't take a long time. Let's just stand up right now, actually, because we're going to be worshiping here. I want you to come forward if you want to respond to either one of those. You said, Lord, I need a fresh touch. I want to get in the game. Or, Lord, I need to get right with you. Either one of those. We're just going to come up during this song, and we're going to worship the Lord for about 10 minutes. And probably no one's going to pray for you even. Just encounter the Lord, but just make that step of faith. Like, I'm coming out, Lord, on this. I want you to touch me.
Are you hurting, broken, within? Overwhelmed by the weight of sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Isn't he wonderful? to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
A believer and you're in a seat out there and you'd like to come up and pray for someone in the front, I just encourage you to do that. So if you consider James River your church and you're a believer, you are free to come up and pray. We'd love for that. And let's just continue with another song or something. And so if you want to minister to someone up here, I encourage you to do that. If not, you are free to go. And we'll see you hopefully tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless you. But leave quietly, please. We're just going to continue in worship. And really, I want some time to minister to people who have responded, okay? So just go ahead. If you want to visit, great. Just go ahead and step into the foyer, though, okay?
I've never known a love like yours.